Amen. It's sure good to be in the house of God this morning. And just want to thank your pastor, Pastor Moore. Been good friends with him and Miss Melissa. Grew up with Melissa. And so Miss Moore, I should say. I guess that's more appropriate. We actually grew up in the same school and church. And then I got to meet Brother Moore when they got married. And I love Brother Ben. And he's a man of God. He loves you dearly. I'll just say that. And it's no joke. When he's away, he's talking about the church that he's at. He's talking about you all, and just thankful for him and his testimony. And then, but I do want to thank you as a church for allowing us to be able to come here as well today. And we're just looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us. In light of missions conference that you just had, we are one of the people you support as missionaries. We're your missionaries. And it's not very many churches we can say that in. There's a few now that are starting to take us on, but that's a blessing. And it puts fuel in our tank to get down to the road to the next place. God's opening doors all around America for us to travel and to preach. So the gospel's getting out. It's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of money. We're involved in missions at our home, and we believe in missions on both sides of the aspect, giving and going. So it's a big deal, and God's really... I really believe God's in missions, and not just around the other parts of the world, but even in America. America is probably one of the most neediest now. Neediest, I'm going to make that a word this morning, but it's a very needful place for the gospel. We've had it so good for so long, we've gotten spoiled, and we've let God, we just kind of pushed God out of the way and gotten comfortable in America, and we got to be careful for that. So, brother, am I on? Yes, I am. Amen. Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22 this morning. Genesis chapter 22. You listen fast, I'll preach fast. Amen. And I'm looking forward to, it's always hard when you're preaching right before or right after food. So I've got there's anticipation to get downstairs to eat, and then after we eat, there's an anticipation to get home and take a nap. So I got my work cut out this morning. But we are thankful to be here. Genesis chapter number 22, and starting in verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 1. And if you're well able to stand, would you mind standing with me just in honor of God's word? I don't want to take anything out of how it's normally done here. That's how we do it at our church, so I'm just going to ask. So, if you're able to. If you're not, God knows that, no problem. Genesis chapter number 22, if you would look at verse number 1, it says this, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." If you'll skip down to verse number 9, and it says this, "And they came to the place which God had told him of," the place that he saw afar off. "And Abraham built an altar there," and we'll just stop right there. He built an altar there. He built an altar unto the Lord. He was doing an act of obedience to God. Now this story, we've probably heard it 100 times. If you've been in church at all, you've heard this story a lot. But really, it's still relevant for today. And so with this thought in mind this morning, we're going to preach a little bit on laying your all on the altar. Laying your all on the altar. So he only brought his son Isaac. That was everything to him, his son Isaac. And so this morning, with that thought in mind and in light of missions conference, Lord really brought me to this place is laying your all on the altar. Let's have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time to be with you today. We just pray, Lord, you'd help us to stay alert and awake, to listen to you, Lord, not to me. God, I just pray that I wouldn't get in the way this morning, that you'd have me to say everything you want, nothing more, nothing less. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. I pray you'd deal with me. Lord, if there's a matter or something that I don't want to give up, I pray that I would just you would reveal it to me, Lord, and help me to get it right. We thank you for everything you do. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. What a story this is in Genesis chapter 22, where we find Abraham, and just about everybody has heard of Abraham in the Bible. A very godly man. Yes, he did mess up. There's not a man in the Bible or woman who were perfect, nor will there ever be, because we have human flesh. We're made up of this sinful nature. But Abraham was a godly man. No doubt that he followed God. He was obedient to God. And the Bible says that it was counted unto him for righteousness, which simply saying this is that in his obedience and looking forward to Christ coming one day through the sacrifices that they would do in the Old Testament as a symbol of what Jesus would do one day, we look back in salvation and trust in Jesus. We look back at what Christ has already done. And so Abraham, I believe, was a saved man. He followed God. And for several years there, him and his wife desired a son to carry on the family name. And it was, in some cultures, it's a bigger deal than other cultures. But it's a very, very big deal even today over in the Middle East to have a son born to carry on the family name, the family lineage. And so Abraham and his wife prayed about it, went unto God. God opened up her womb and promised him a son. Now, we know by reading first in the chapter before this, in chapter 21, that they didn't do it God's way. They didn't do it God's way. And so they tried to have a son doing it their own way, which his name was Shamgar, and Ishmael was his name. And we find out that they do it their way, and it wasn't a blessing. And in chapter 21, he is still grieving over losing his other son. But then God blesses him, and he does give him a son named Isaac, whom he said he will bless his seed for years and generations to come. And all of a sudden now, we find ourselves to chapter 22, and God, he now has his son. He's excited about that. He has his son here, and they got their family together, and things are going well. And all of a sudden, God comes up to him and tests his faith. And it says there, and I think verse 1 or 2, it says God did tempt Abraham. The word tempt there does not mean to try to get him to trip and fall and mess up. We know that Scripture backs it up. God doesn't do that with us. He's not looking to harm us and hurt us. The word tempt here means to test. He gives him a test to test his faith, whether he's really trusting him or whether he's just going through the motions and playing the church game, so to speak. And so Abraham, he's tested by God, and this is what God says. The very thing that I told you I would give you to bless you with, I now want it back. I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, at the time that was with him, and sacrifice him unto me. Now, for us to get this, we don't quite get sacrificed because we don't have little lambs at home that we're to go to once a week and then once a year and sacrifice and take the lamb. And in Old Testament time, when they talked about sacrifices, they were very knowledgeable about it because they did it all the time. And it was a symbol, a future event that would take place. It was a picture of what Christ would do one day as a sacrifice for you and me on the cross. So a sacrifice here, he says, I want you to take him and sacrifice him as a burnt offering unto me. Now, that's rough to take. I don't know about you, but if God truly, and you say, well, that's crazy. Well, the Bible's true. I believe the Bible. I believe it all the way through. Ain't one part of it that I don't believe. And this is a true story. It actually did happen. So God did ask Abraham to take his son and to sacrifice him. But what, in back in those days, the Canaanites were a group of people who sacrificed their own children to false gods. There were some other pagan religions that were back in those days, and even nowadays, even third world countries, they still do that. They'll sacrifice their own children before a false god and burn them alive. I don't get that. But God now is asking him to do a sacrifice with his son. I can only imagine what's going through his head. God, I don't understand this. You gave him to me, and now you wanted me to give him back to you through a sacrifice. a burnt offering. You say, what's the big deal about a burnt offering? Well, there was five main Levitical sacrifices or offerings that they would have back in those days, okay? I'm not going to bore you. You hear the word Leviticus or Deuteronomy, everybody falls asleep because we know they're hard to read through if you don't really know what's going on in the passages. But if you study out these offerings and sacrifices, Deuteronomy and Leviticus come alive. It is everything is done. Every little piece of the sacrifice and how it was done symbolizes something. And I'm not gonna go through all them today, but I do want to touch briefly on the five Levitical offerings that were there. First off, we have the meal offering. All right, now there was a meal offering. I like the sound of that, food. Amen. There was a meal offering. This offering, there was no shedding of blood with the offering. It was to show Christ's perfections of his life rather than his death. And so it represented the perfect man, which we know is Christ. That was the meal offering. Secondly, there was the peace offering, which the blood, the fat, and the kidneys were put on the altar. They were washed and put on the altar to be burned by fire to the Lord. This was God's part. Then the breast and the right shoulder were eaten by man. The breast were given to Aaron and his sons, and the shoulder to the offering priest. I'm not going to take time to go through why everything is very neat. It's interesting when you read it and you study it out. But this represented the fellowship between God and man. God got his part, man had his part, and jointly there was fellowship between God in this offering here, the peace offering. But then we have the sin offering. The sin offering represented the judgment of sin. This offering was done. The blood and the fat were put on the altar, and the rest of the bullock or the bull would be burned outside the camp on the ground. It wasn't done inside the camp. Then you had the trespass offering. We're almost done here. The trespass offering represented the atonement or forgiveness of sin. The atonement was made by the blood of the offering, and the trespasser was forgiven. But the offering that we're going to talk about today was, and it intrigued me because I've read this I don't know how many times, and I never noticed it till about a month ago. I started reading it. I was like, why did he want him to do a burnt offering? What's the difference here? And there's a difference. The burnt offering is here the whole offering, except the skin, was consumed by the fire on the altar, showing a picture of Christ, how he gave his all, even unto death, to obey the Father. So this offering, God says, and instantly, he already knew what it meant. Abraham already knew all the different offerings. They do this all the time. So when he hears God tell him, I want a burnt offering, God says, I want all of Isaac. And essentially what he's asking, he says, I want all of you. Really, it wasn't Isaac that he wanted. He wanted Abraham. He wanted to know that Abraham was willing to give up everything for him. Now, that's easier said than done, right? I mean, let's just be honest this morning. In reality, that's not easy. But as a Christian, as someone we claim to be Christ-like, we want to follow Christ, I want to be a disciple of God, as a Christian, we have to understand this, that really, every single thing you have, including yourself, your family, it should be all God's. Everything. And so if God says, I want you to sell that, I'm not saying that God's saying this. I'm just saying, because I have known some people that God spoke to them and spoke to their heart. They gave their vehicle away to somebody to help them out. I've had two cars given to me through the years. Nothing, you know, it wasn't a Lexus or some Fiari, but it got me down the road. It was better than walking, amen. But there's times that God's told us to give something to somebody else. You know what? I'm missing out on a blessing if I didn't do it. And so, really, essentially, everything I have, may it be little or much, is really God's, if I'm a disciple of Christ. So this morning, real quick, and we're not going to take very long, we've got a few minutes left here, but we're going to talk about laying your all on the altar. What are some things that we can see from this passage that Abraham did that allowed him to give God his all? Because that's not normal for us just to have that attitude. I mean, right now, if God said, I want your kids, I'm going to call all your children to the ministry, and they're going to move to Africa, and you'll never probably see them again. If God really audibly said that to you and me, a lot of us would get, whoa, wait a minute now, slow down. I've raised them, I've done this and that. No, no, no. He gave them to us for a short time to raise them for him. So whatever he wants to do with them, we got to take our hands off. And that's not easy to do. Our oldest now is in college, and she's got a shadow following her around. And he came and was at our church last Wednesday. And I like John. I like him. It took me a while to like him, but I like John. He's a good guy. He really is. He's saved. He's following the Lord. I told him, I said, you know, if you're following God, I'm okay with this. But if she's before God, then I don't want you guys to get together. Because God ought to be number one no matter what, even before your spouse. Because when God's before your spouse, you're going to be closer to her or him than you've ever been. But if you put anything before God first, it'll hinder your walk with God. It'll hinder the blessings coming down and God being able to use your life. So real quick here, we only got a few minutes. I want to touch on a couple things. First, we can see this, that you won't be willing to give your all until what? Well, if number one, you won't be willing to give your all until you're willing to get alone with God. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, look at verse number two real quick. The Bible says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So what's God saying? God says, I want you to go to a place that's secluded, just where you and me are going to meet. And we know the story goes on that way because they go 2 days of the 3-day journey, and the Bible says that he then tells the two young men to stay here, and we got another day's journey, me and Isaac, and I'm going to go offer Isaac unto God. And he can see the place afar off. So that's what he does. He stops, he leaves the two young men, he takes off, and he gets way up in the mountains alone with God to worship. That's why they did the sacrifices, was to worship God. And I can just tell you this right now, as an application unto you and me, until we won't be willing to give our all to God until we make time to get alone with God daily. That's where our Bible reading and prayer time, somebody's saying it again. It's the foundation of a Christian, or you'll be a weak Christian your whole life. That's the way I am. If I don't read my Bible and pray, I get in the flesh, I make wrong decisions, I get cranky, right? Things happen, and the whole day goes downhill. If I don't spend time with God at the first part of my day, that's just the way it is. And so what I've had to learn as a Christian is this. I'm willing to do anything for God when I make time to be alone with him daily. And that's my challenge to you this morning is simply this. Abraham clearly shows us in the passage here in verse 2, God says, I want you to go to this place, a specific place where just you and me can get together and spend time together and you can worship me. And that's really what it is for you and me. We need to make time for God. And whether it's your prayer closet, whether it's just a certain spot you have every day, but you say, okay, I'm going to carve out, starting tomorrow morning, I'm going to carve out, and maybe it be 10 minutes, maybe it be a half hour, an hour, whatever you can come up with. I'm going to lose some sleep, and I'm going to carve out some time for God, and I'm going to spend some time with God. I'm telling you right now, it'll change your life. If you haven't made time for God like that in the past, it will change your life when you just say, okay, I'm just separating, cleaning off the table here. This spot's for God every single day. And we make time to get alone with God, we'll be willing to give whatever God wants us to give. I'm telling you right now, it's the truth. It's the truth. So first off, we got to be willing to get alone with God. But secondly here, let's look. He says in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And then it says this, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. He clave the wood for the burnt offering. Well, first you have to be willing to get alone with God if you're going to give your all to him. Because you won't want to give your all unless you spend time with God. But secondly, you got to be someone who's willing to, you got to be willing to work for God. I don't know if to make the altars back in those days, it wasn't just something that they just threw together in a couple minutes. They had to go chop the tree, chop the wood, and clave the wood. That's really what it means. It means to split wood. Now, who here's split wood before? I'm sure several people have. Amen? And I grew up on a wood-burning stove. Me and my parents' house, they still have one. I don't. We got to build a house here 8 years ago now, and I didn't get a chance to put a stove in. It was too expensive at the time. But I miss chopping wood. I don't like to do it if I have to do it, right? I like to do it if I'm bored. I want to go out and chop something, beat up something. I can chop on wood. But needless to say, either way around it, if you chop wood for a long time, it's work. It's physical labor. I mean, it's fun to me for a while, but if I had to do it every day, all day, nonstop, cutting big trees down, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So the passage here is simply saying, I believe God's telling us right here in verse number 3 is simply this. Verse number 2, you had to get alone with God, but number 3, you got to be willing to work for God. In order to give our all to Christ, we got to have a mentality that we're ready to jump in, get our hands dirty in church, amen, and be able to take part in the things that are going on. I'm just telling you right now, it's a blessing to stand here and just to see the place full. I can't explain that to you. I can't, because when we came here, it was 3 people. Miss Schultz was one of them, and she stayed faithful, and her husband, and there's a few. But I'm telling you right now, it was just many times. It was just a couple of them and our family, and that was it. And it's such a blessing to see how God has taken the Moors and brought them here, and I believe it's totally God's will, and how He's put them here, and God's using them and you all together, and to see people getting involved, people have jobs, they're up, you know, doing the sound, doing cleaning the church house, cleaning the bathrooms, and making the bulletins, and people have different things they're doing. What? That's the body of Christ working together to accomplish something for God, amen? Just like in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the body of Christ, and we all have a part in the body of Christ. We all ought to be active. Every member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, every member, even the kids, ought to have something, some kind of job that they're doing for the Lord. Everybody. And you don't have to have a job that's always up here. I mean, just doing anything to clean the church house, help. Just go to your pastor and say, Pastor, what can I do to be involved? What can I do to help? Man, I want to be a part of this. And when we have that kind of a spirit that we're willing to get our hands dirty, we're willing to take our hands to the axe and chop some wood, so to speak, and get involved in church, we're going to be willing. It's those people who are willing to do anything and everything for Christ. I'm just telling you right now, it is. In our church, every church we've traveled, anytime you go to a church, you see the workers of the church pretty much right off the bat. The people who are active, really want to be active in the church, they have a giving spirit, don't they? They do. So in order to have a spirit that God would have us to have, I believe this scripture is in here for a reason, there's the example of Abraham. He was willing to give it all, first because he was willing to get alone with God every day, spend time with God, even when he didn't want to, do it anyway. But then also, he's willing to get his hands dirty, put his hands to the axe. He was willing to chop some wood, so to speak, all right? He's willing to get involved in church, not just fill a pew, but to get involved. But thirdly, there's something else here we can see real quick. And it's in verse number 10. Look it down to verse number 10. It says, And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. Thirdly, you have to be willing to sacrifice what is most precious to you. Nothing can be held back from God in your mind. Whatever God would ask, that's what you'll do. Problem is, most people fear the exact thing I just said earlier about, you know, if I give everything to God, He's going to take everything. God's not asking us to go sell our houses and sell everything we got, live on the street, and give everything away. He's not asking for that. He is asking for our heart, though. And if He has all of our heart, if He does ask for something, we have no problem giving it to Him, because we know where we came from, where He's brought us to now. He saved my soul from a messed up, upside down life, in trouble all the time. He saved me and allowed me to bring me to a place like right now. Man, I owe Him everything. there shouldn't be anything that I can say, no, God, I don't want to give that to you. I'll give you everything but this one thing. I'll give you everything but my house. I'll give you everything but my family. I'll give you everything but my job. I got to keep my job. I got to keep working that extra overtime. I know I miss most of the church services. Are we really giving everything to him? God knows we got to work. He's not saying just quit your jobs and, you know, just sit here in the church, the house the whole time. But he is saying this, the willingness to do whatever he wants. That's what he's looking for. The best ability that you have to offer to Christ is availability. It's just saying, whatever you want, I'll do it. But we'll never get to that spot. And sometimes we struggle there and we want to, but we never get to that spot because we don't do these things. We never get alone with God. We never spend time with God. It's only at church. Secondly, get involved a little bit, but we don't really want to jump all in and just help out. We don't go to pastor to say, hey, pastor, what do you need that I can do? I want to help. Or we're holding something back. We've done the other two things. Yeah, we spend some time in our Bible and we're pretty faithful, but there's something in my life I don't want to give up. And it might be a sin. It might be something God speaking to your heart saying, hey, you need to let go of this. What is it today that would be in your life that would hold you back from just giving it all out tonight or this morning? I mean, just laying it all out before him saying, you got it all. Everything there is, it's yours. Because it's when you get to that point, if you study the life of Abraham, what an awesome life he had. God blessed him. He's got to see and do things that nobody else will ever get to. And God's still blessing the seed, Israel, because of him. Generations, hundreds of thousands of years later, thousands of years later now, Israel's still going strong. That's awesome. That's only something God can do. And I would think that we would want our families blessed, don't we? If not for ourselves, do it for your spouse. Do it for your children. Just say, hey, God, you got everything. Because when your kids see that, they'll think, man, there might be something to this church. We're not just going every week to sit down and leave. Dad and Mom, they're involved. There's something different. I want that. I want that for my children. I mean, just because we travel and do what we do, that doesn't mean that they're going to serve God their whole life. It's a guarantee. They got to have a relationship with God just like I do and their mom. It's an individual decision this morning. So that's what I'm asking you. What is it in your life, or is there anything that's just holding you back? Sin or not? Maybe it's not sin. Maybe it's just something that you want to hang on to, but it's becoming sin because you're saying no to God. You're missing out on a blessing. I'm telling you, friend, this morning, a load can be lifted off your shoulders. I mean, it is an awesome feeling to go all out for God. And I got 1 minute. I want to say this. Before I quit, Johnson Controls was where I quit my job, went full-time in September. It was hard to quit. Okay? When you got 7 children at home, you got a full house payment, 2 vehicles, and you got all just the food alone to keep them things going. Those kids can eat. But all these bills, this is not me, this is God. I had to get to a place where I put off going full time because of money. I just didn't trust the Lord. I'm just going to tell you flat out, that was my problem. And whether I have 7 kids or none, I should have trusted the Lord and just gave it to him. But I fought the Lord on that. You quit a job making $70,000, $80,000 a year or more, and then just to nothing? Nothing. You say, well, that's just stupid. No. God told me to do it, so I did it. Let me tell you this. There ain't been 1 month we've lost one thing. In fact, I haven't lost any weight either, unfortunately. I'm still eating too much. What am I saying? I'm saying God is providing everything we need. You can ask the kids this. It's not just for me. He's providing everything we need, not we want, everything we need. Since September, for 7 months, we have not lost one thing. And I work when I can, do odd and end jobs, and through support, we get love offerings, stuff like that. It ain't like we get nothing. But you go from where I was at, the checks we could count on, you know, 1,000, 1,200 a week to nothing almost. We go 3 weeks sometimes without anything. You just got to trust the Lord. But you can. You can trust Him. We're a living example of it. You know, I mean, I'm just telling you right now, it's not something I'm just saying and I've never done. We're there. So my challenge to you is simply this. Give it to Him. Whether it is a job, whether it is whatever, just give it to Him this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would. We're going to have an invitation at this time. I just want to challenge you this morning. You say, Brother Jim, I've got something I'm struggling with. I really don't want to give it up, but I haven't had any peace and joy. I've lost some things. I feel like I'm losing more than I'm gaining. But you know what? This morning, God can change that around. What I'm saying is the absolute truth because I'm living it right now. That if you just give Him everything, you're not going to go under. You're not going to be disappointed. God can do anything. He can fix the marriage problem. He can fix the child problem. He can fix the job problem. He can fix in-laws and all the things. Any you can name, financial, physical health. You know, He can do anything. He's able to sustain and continue to take care of you without that thing in your life. You don't have to have it to live. Now, my challenge this morning is simply this. As the music starts playing, if you'll just do business with God this morning. I know that these altars, I know you have altar calls. I know you can do it at your seat. You don't have to come up here, and I'm not looking to do that. But I'm begging you that you wouldn't leave this place without kneeling to put a knee down and just say, God, I give you it all. I'm going to pray, and you do business with God, and just let God take control. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. Lord, I'm thankful that we can give You everything and not have to worry. It's not easy, but Lord, when we just give it up, it's a load off our shoulders. Lord, there's no doubt in this room, there's things, people in here representing different issues and problems that we take upon ourselves, and Lord, I pray this morning that You will give courage and just grant us the courage and the faith, Lord, to trust You and come down an old-fashioned altar and just kneel before You and give it to You. We ask these things in Christ's name, amen. If everybody would stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, and as the music plays, we're going to sing a song called Just As I Am. That's what God wants. He's not asking you to fix your whole life and then come to Him. He's saying, just come to Me. If you'll just come to Him and trust Him, He'll take care of you. That's what he's wanting from you even this morning. So you do business with God as God speaks to your heart.